Welcome to the Portland Pentecostals podcast. We're happy you've decided to join us as we build a life-changing relationship with Jesus Christ. Enjoy the message.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Amen, amen, amen. Before you're seated, I wonder if we could just lift our hands to the Lord and thank Him for His presence that's in this place. Thank Him for His word that will speak to us tonight. And as your hands are lifted, would you just open your heart as best as you can, saying, God, I'm ready to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. I'm ready to be everything you've called me to be. Lord, allow my mind to be open. Allow my spirit to be open, Lord. Don't let there be one thing that I would have consternation against, resistance against, but God, my answer is yes right now, Lord. In the name of Jesus, we worship you, God, in Jesus' name. Everybody say, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated tonight. Thank you so much to all of you for being here. Amen. Great to have Pastor and Sister Pastor back with us. Amen. And I love them. Go ahead. Give it up for Pastor Hanson. Amen. We love them. And I was nervous and that they weren't here Sunday. But they got back, and then they made up for their absence by cooking for us. And so we forgive them. Yeah, we forgive them. And we love them. Amen. Very thankful. I do want to take just a few moments to just sort of give you an overview. And I know that because of the amount that I minister here in this church, there will be things that are reiterated, but I think that it's good to have things that are reiterated. And of course, I don't think that there's no way you could remember everything I say. So maybe something is a reiteration to you, and the next the person next to you may have completely forgotten something I've said last year, September, 2 years ago, whatever. So it might be fresh to them, But I want to give you very quickly, as best as I can, without going too fast. My timer is going. But I do want to give you an overview of where we're at and to sort of launch us into where we're going. Amen? And how many of you are excited that you are a saint of God in 2022? These are the last days, and I'm thankful to be a part of God's kingdom. And I preached to you Sunday, and a lot can happen in a couple days, but I preached to you on Sunday about the preparation for action, being prepared for action, and allowing us to look into the lens of the Old Testament prophets. Can I get a head nod if you remember what we talked about Sunday? And through the lens of the angels, the Old Testament prophets who were used to prophesy centuries before today about your salvation. But they wondered what this would be like. And angels who get to be in the presence of God wonder what it's like to have His presence living inside of you. And then Peter said, with all of this, what we've received, it's time to prepare our minds for, everybody say, action. Amen. Action. And so 2 years ago, on January the 2nd of 2020, of course, 2020 was a very hectic, crazy year. Of a year that no one expected and saw coming. And on January the 2nd of 2020 was when the Lord spoke to my spirit in Australia at their general conference. And I know some of you may remember me telling the story of going to Australia to minister at their general conference when I got there, and there was the whole nation was ablaze in a wildfire. And it was just crazy to be there during this time for a general conference, you know. And what God did there was amazing. But it was that January the 2nd of 2020 when God just put the word in my spirit and simply said, prepare yourself, because everything is about to change and the way that you do ministry will change. And I really do believe that that word is not just for Chris Green. I really believe that word is for the church and for you. Everybody say, for me. That we must prepare ourselves daily, because everything is changing. We're living in a time where things are changing daily. sometimes on YouTube or whatever, news, something from the news will pop up, and I'll look at the date, and it'll say, you know, it published 3 days ago, and I think, I ain't going to listen to that. It's news three days old. You know, so much has changed, you know, and technology changes, news changes, the economy changes, and our world is changing every single day. We must stay in a perpetual state of preparation for the changing times we're in. And the Lord said, prepare yourself, everything will change, and the way you do ministry will change. The way you do ministry will change. And as I reached out to my wife, she was back home when I was in Australia that time, and let her know what God spoke to me, and she said, I'm feeling the same thing. And we came home. I came home, we went to a conference, and in one day at this conference, 8 people prophesied in one day. I don't know if that's blasphemous or not to have 8 prophecies in one day, or if God just knows how thick of a skull I have, you know, and hard-headed I am. And, you know, so it was 8 prophecies in one day. Because of the times that people came and said, prepare, get ready. There's change, there's transition. And I'm like, okay, I get it. And by the 8th time, I was like, let me guess, change and transition. Like, how'd you know, you know? And then we came here, we came here for a revival, and someone prophesied to us, you know, and the person has since moved away. But the person just said, prepare yourself because your traveling is over and you're going to sit still and hear the voice of God, and your traveling is over. Like right now, and I'm thinking, you know, metaphorically we're not going to travel. Spiritually, I'm not going to travel because obviously we're traveling. That's what we do for a living, and my schedule's booked through the next couple of years, and so we're traveling. And, you know, she said, prepare yourself because you're not going to travel. You're going to sit still and hear the voice of God, but do not be dismayed. God's in control of the seasons. And that was March the 8th. And on March the 15th, everything came to a screeching halt. And you like my sound effects? And everything to a screeching halt. And we literally stopped traveling. And our schedule was canceled. And so we ended up driving from Austin to Portland, and just to hang out with my wife's family for a week. We packed for a week and stayed the rest of the year. Got here in March and found out it doesn't rain as much between March and August. And I loved it. I was like, this is awesome. You got all the benefits of the rain that we've had the last 4 months. And now we just live off of that rain. You know, it's amazing. We just loved it. But when we got here and my schedule was canceled and I didn't have anything to do, you know, but get fat and gain, you know, COVID-19 pounds. And I began to pray. Am I going too fast for you? I began to pray and I said, God, you know, what do you want me to do? And you said, prepare myself. How do I prepare? And some of you will remember some of these. I've told some of this here, you know, so I'm going very fast and just hitting the highlights to bring you up to speed with where you are and where we are together collectively. But the Lord just said, I want you to seek me diligently. And I won't go into that whole story, but seek me diligently. Seek me sacrificially. Seek me early, he said. And if you recall, I went up this mountain across the street from in Beaverton and into Jenkins Estate. I was there this morning and early this morning to pray in that same spot. I prayed there for 40 consecutive mornings, about 4:30 or 5 in the morning, and just prayed and prayed and prayed. And there was a couple of those mornings I actually came into the city of Portland. And I don't know what that bridge is that you can walk over, the Willamette River, Tillicum Crossing. Someone Google that, see if Pastor's telling the truth or if we can. No, he's. And I walked that bridge. I'd walk that bridge and just pray over the city and pray over the city and pray over the city and just develop such a burden for this city. And I mean, just a tremendous weight was on me, you know, and for this city and everything that was that the city is going through. And did that for 40 consecutive mornings, you know, and was just expecting God to speak. And God didn't give me that direction that I was looking for in those 40 days of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord diligently. He did many great things, and I drew closer to God than I've ever been in my life, and I was very thankful for that, but I was looking for very clear direction. God didn't give it to me then, and that was in April and May, and then my wife and I in July. Our schedule in the South, our evangelistic schedule was kind of opening up, and so we decided to go and get back on the evangelistic field. You know, we had been here for about 4 or 5 months at that point. We said, okay, it's time to get back on the road, and we didn't pray about it. And we left with our truck and trailer, and everything broke down, and all Hades broke loose, and the Lord turned us back around when we made it to Arizona. God turned us back around and said, "You're following your schedule. You're not following my spirit." And that's why everything is going chaotic in your life right now. Follow my spirit, not your schedule. And I'm like, okay, well, what do we do? You know, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go back to Oregon. I'm like, why would I go back to Oregon? There, you can't do anything in Oregon, you know? And I mean, what are we going to do there? You know? And then we prayed and fasted there. We were stuck in Arizona praying and fasting. What do we do? And God said, go back to Oregon. And so we kept praying. It was like, are you sure, God? You know, and then some of you have heard he's preached in the district before. Brother Victor Jackson, he called me and he didn't know where we were, what we were doing. He just called me and said, you've left a place and God's turned you around to go back to that place. He said, you just made the decision to obey God, to go back, and you just passed the test. He said, when you get back to where you're going, he said, something's going to happen. There is revival in the place that he's told you to go back to. So that's why I'm telling you this, because the Lord said there is revival and harvest here in Oregon. And I want you to really grasp that you're not here. Amen. You're not here just because maybe, you know, you're the third generation to live here. You're not here just because a job brought you here. You're not here because you can't afford to move somewhere else. You're not here by happenstance. You're not here by random occasion. You're here for a purpose. And please hear me. I've said this here before, and don't misread me. And I'm not discouraging anyone that's left. In fact, I understand. I understand. I totally understand. There's been circumstances that have caused people to have to travel across the country sight unseen. My wife and I have just met two families in Austin, in a suburb of Austin where we live, who just moved from the state of Washington sight unseen, never been to Texas, and just moved their entire family of five to Texas because of circumstances that literally forced them to move. And I understand. So I'm not discouraging anybody's decision to move, but what I am is speaking to those who have stayed. And I really believe in my spirit that when we see, now we're seeing glimpses of it, but when we see the fulfillment of it, when we see the entirety of it, when the fullness of time comes and we see the outpouring of unprecedented proportions of the Holy Ghost and fire, when we see the revival, when this building cannot contain, and it's already at that level, but when this building cannot contain, and when there's people that rise up here that I'm speaking to right now that literally become pastors of congregations in your home to teach and to preach Bible studies and to baptize people in your bathtubs and pray them through to the Holy Ghost on your couches. What it's going to be is it's going to be that much sweeter when we can say we stuck it out and we saw the revival. Even though the storm came, even though we went through the valley of the shadow of death, we stuck it out. When we didn't know what was going to happen, when we didn't know if we were going to pay the bills, when we didn't know what was going to take place, we stuck it out, and because we had faith and we did not turn around, God has enabled us to see the harvest that he promised us we would see. Hallelujah. And I just remember coming back, and we drove all the way back to Oregon, and I started scheduling revivals throughout the state of Oregon, called the superintendent at the time, Brother Graves, and called my father-in-law, Brother Sparks, and I called Brother Hansen. I said, revival's coming, baby. We on our way. We're turning around. You know, I felt like Jonah, you know. I just got spit out of the whale, and here I come. We're going to turn this city and this state upside down, you know. 40 days and Portland shall be destroyed. You know, I was about to preach that like Jonah, you know, 40 days and Nineveh will be destroyed. And I mean, just everybody, starting with the governor and the mayor and everybody else. And hey, they need the Holy Ghost, whether you voted for them or not. You know, they need baptized in Jesus' name, whether you like them or not. I don't care what side of the aisle you're on. I don't care if you're blue or red, left or right. I am for the kingdom of heaven. And I vote for Jesus. And I vote for Hero Israel. The Lord our God is one. And I vote for righteousness and holiness and separation unto God. And I vote for repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus, and you shall receive the Holy Ghost. That's what I vote for. And I vote, I don't care how much confusion and consternation they have caused us. They need the Holy Ghost. In fact, they probably need it more than we do. Some of them, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Everybody said amen. And I remember, and I just remember going to Brother Johnson's church. That was the first church when we got back. It was actually the second church, but we passed by the Tuckers and the Van Deveners, and then we got back into Portland, and then we started these revivals, and we went to the Johnson's church, and man, it was such a confusing situation of resistance. I'll never forget. I've preached there many, 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 many times, you know, and I've never seen this happen at that church before, and I don't know if they had seen it like this, but there was so much resistance in that service. Literally, the praise singers were looking at each other like, what's going on? Man, at one point, the worship leader stood up to the pulpit and said, let's just stop. And let's just pray. There's something going on in this room. There's a resistance here. Let's just pray. I got up to preach, and I preached on the name of Jesus, and there was so much resistance, and they came to the altar out of, you know, tradition, obedience, and faith, you know. But, man, we prayed the prayer of faith, and it was like taking a sledgehammer to a steel wall, and the reverberation of that collision just knocking me back. It was such an opposition of resistance. It was like, what is going on in this place, you know? And I went to the altar and began to pray. Everybody, by that point, was leaving, and I just stayed at the altar. And I said, God, you turned us around. God, I spent the 40 days on the mountain, and we left, and you turned us around and said, there's revival here, there's harvest here, what's going on? And the Lord said, it's not here. You're looking for it in the wrong place. You're looking for an outpouring of salvation on people that are already saved. You're looking for a day of Pentecost in a room filled with Pentecostals. Said, the revival that you're looking for is not here, it's out there. Amen. Yes. Amen. Yes. I said, okay. And I'd never been out there before. The only ministry I'd ever done was right here, behind a pulpit, on a platform. And God said, well, I want to teach you how to do it out there now. Your feet have never left the platform, but I'm looking for laborers to go into the field. Yes. Isn't it amazing that Jesus said, I want you to pray. Yeah. Watch this. I want you to pray for what? I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest would send laborers into the field, because the harvest is so abundant. The harvest is plenty. Sometimes we're afraid, man, what if we have a small revival? What if we have just two or three get the Holy Ghost? Well, Jesus promised the harvest is plenty. It's abundant. It's huge. It's overflowing. He said, but the laborers are few. That excites me, actually, even though that to some of us, that's a condemnation. That excites me. We, no matter how big our church gets, and this is one of the bigger apostolic churches in this area, that we're few compared to the harvest we're about to see. We're just a fraction of the harvest that God has promised, because the laborers are few. Oh, well, we run 200 plus people. Well, you're few compared to the harvest you're going to see. That excites me. I mean, it would discourage me if he said, man, there's a whole lot of laborers. Sorry, but the harvest is very small. Yeah. Yeah. Not all of you are going to get to do anything, because, you know, there's a small harvest out there. But it lets me know that there's a job for everybody. There's a job for everybody. The problem is we reduce the harvest, the job of the harvest, to this right here. That's why, Pastor, you need to hear this. You weren't here Sunday, so I got to preach some things to you while you're here. No, I'm kidding. But I made the statement. I told him, I'm not the pastor, but we're just going to assume that because he has me back every 6 months, that he trusts me to say what I feel. And so far, so good, I guess. And so I said, I think that the identity of this church should be that this right here is the smallest platform of the church. So you still haven't gotten that yet. You're saying, what do you mean by that? But that's everything that I've been praying about to get up there. This should be the small. We talk about platform guidelines, and, you know, I've heard of different models in the church, you know, and I've heard at the Pentecostals of Alexandria, you know, they talk about it's like a pyramid shape, you know, of different levels of expectation and responsibility, you know, that at the base level, at the entrance level, you know, there's not a whole lot we're requiring from you. There's not a lot of responsibility we're giving to you. But also at that base level, we're not really giving you the responsibility, the privilege, and the blessing to minister to others right now, because we're trying to minister to you. And as you climb up that pyramid, so to speak, as you climb up that chart, you know, and it gets smaller and smaller at the top. Because many are called and few are chosen, you know. And, And there's more requirement, more responsibility at the top, but that's where the impartation ministries become an opportunity for you, you know. And what I think is that this platform right here, we preach, we teach, we sing, we play. For who? Well, 99% of the people that we're ministering to from this platform are to people that are already saved. Now, we should do that every week. And I talked about that Sunday. Do not forsake the assembling of the saints. And I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And don't ever resist this. And there's a lot of people that they go rogue, you know, and AWOL from the church because they think, oh, I can have my own walk with God and I can do it myself. No, don't ever think that. Don't ever think that you're going to be okay with without the submission to a man of God in your life, without somebody that can help you, because we may feel something in our prayer life, but we need a shepherd who's praying and fasting for our souls, that when I say, Pastor, I saw this word, I saw this scripture in the Bible, or I felt this in prayer, help me pray about this. What do you think this means? And a shepherd can say, you know what? This is what the voice of God is saying. This is what the vision of the Lord is trying to provide. We need that, okay? But what I'm saying is that the ministry of this platform, for the majority of the time, we speak and we minister to people that are ready right now. You're not perfect and nobody's perfect. You still have things that you can improve, of course. Until the day you die or the trumpet sounds, you will always have opportunity for improvement. We always need improvement. But in terms of salvation, in terms of, are you a believer? Are you a follower of Christ? Have you been born again of the water and the Spirit? And I'm sure that almost all of us in this room could say yay and amen. And that's the majority of who this platform ministers to. And the laborers that we're ministering to are few. And the harvest is plenty. Which means there's a lot more platforms to be had in a church than just the one that we perceive as the most grand and the place that I must achieve in order to be acceptable by my peers. And we talk about the platform guidelines and what it takes, you know, the responsibility it takes to get to this place. And I'm not saying this church does it. I'm talking about the church as a whole. And I'm not even talking about UPC. I'm talking about every church and the evangelical world and the Western Christian philosophy. We think that if I could just get up there in the spotlight, I have arrived. That's the finish line. And I've asked pastors, I've talked to your pastor about this a couple years ago when God was just, I mean, totally messing up my brain, you know, and thinking about these things. And I thought, you know, we have responsibilities and requirements to get to this platform. But what about teaching a Bible study? What about reaching out for a soul? What about prayer? What about fasting? What about knowing God? We were listening. We've read a book, and I'll just say his name, Francis Chan. And I admire some of the things that he's done. And I don't know all of his theology. I'm not talking about that. But he's inspired me in some ways because of his passion and tenacity and his desire to be right with God and to reach souls. And he talked about the two things that he requires in leadership. And number one is that he said I want leaders who want to know God deeply and know God intimately. And number two, I want people that are humble. He said he learned those two things from a missionary in India who's won over 3 million people. And that missionary who's won over 3 million people to Christ said, he said, there's only one thing that I regret, and that's hiring people, bringing people into leadership that didn't want to know God deeply and they weren't humble. He said, if they didn't have those two things, they would cause so many problems for us. And they would cause so much confusion and frustration. He said, but when I find the people that they might not be able to hit a note if the note hit them in the face. They couldn't hit the right key if the right key hit them right smack dab between the eyes. And they may not have 5 talents, 3 talents, or even 1 talent, but they want to know God deeply. And they are humble. And C.S. Lewis, he mentioned, he said, humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. Humility is not saying, oh, I'm not worthy of that. Humility is not, oh, I couldn't do that. In fact, that's pride. See, humility becomes pride when your so-called humility keeps you out of the will of God. And he's, I'm too humble to prophesy. I'm too humble to speak to that person. I'm too humble. Pastor says, I feel like you're supposed to speak a word. And I've seen this happen in crusades that I've done around the world. And we say, you're the man for the hour. You're supposed to speak the word of faith. And I say, no, not me. I want everybody else to do it. No, but God's asked you to do it. And I understand your humility, and your humility wants other people to be preferred. But God's calling you to do it. And so if God's calling you to do it and you're so humble, that humility becomes pride, because your humility is saying, no, I can't fulfill the will of God. Moses is so-called the most humble man in the Bible, but yet he's the one that said, not me, God, I'm not worthy. His humility became pride when his humility said, I can't do what God's asking me to do. Is that too far, too deep? We'll go back up to the surface a little bit, okay? I meant to stay visionary tonight and inspirational tonight. and so here we are. I got to digress here, okay? We come to Oregon, and God says, go out. And we're thinking, man, we're getting a burden for Oregon and for Portland, and we're doing outreach, and we're going to skate parks, and we're just trying to do something, you know? And I'd reach out to people, and I'm just going to say it, okay? All right, are we okay? I'm just going to say it. I would do outreach in areas where people pastor, and I would contact people that they live in that area. These are supposed to be Pentecostal people. And I would literally get responses back that would say, oh, man, that's so exciting. Let me know the next time you're going to that skate park. Wow, that's amazing. So I text them, hey, 5:00 tonight at the skate park, we're going to go do outreach and we're going to go witness. And they would say, and when it came time to put the rubber to the road, they would say, literally, this is no hyperbole, exaggeration. I'm telling you the truth. They would say, I can't come tonight. We have to vacuum the church. Vacuum the church. One said, I can't come tonight. I have to paint the fence. You're going to go vacuum an empty building. Now, the church needs vacuumed. Especially after some of y'all kids have been in here. The church needs vacuum. Now, let me pause and be humble. Their dining room needed vacuum tonight, not because of Levi or Jackson, but because of me. Underneath my table, it looked like, I don't know, Hiroshima or something of rice, like an explosion of rice on the floor, and your little pebbles of rice in the carpet, and I'm down on my hands and knees, and like, oh God, I'm so embarrassed. I want my wife to spank me, you know, and all this stuff. Get on to me. The church needs vacuumed. But the church doesn't need vacuumed more than these souls need to hear the gospel and the love of Jesus Christ. When the maintenance, y'all can sit down, when the maintenance of the building becomes more important than the salvation of souls, we got a problem. And so I was so mad because my wife and I are doing evangelism in a place I'm not licensed to be a minister, in a place that I don't pastor at church. And if I win these people, if they want to come to church, what do? I don't have a church. And what do? And I'm frustrated because we're going out week after week just loving these teenagers. And this will be some practical stuff real quick. I told you we'll talk about the how a little bit. And the Lord told me what? Okay, so this is what I want you to do. Okay, does everybody have something you can write on and something you can write with? Get it out. Get it out. Get it out. If you don't, raise your hand. And ushers, we should have done this at the beginning.
We got one right here.
Here they come. Give it up for the best ushers in the world. Come on. I got to hurry. Okay, so this is what I want you to do. At the top of the page, we got one right here. All right, we're going to move forward. At the top of the page, I want you to write one word. One word and a question mark. The word is what? Question mark. We might have a slide for you so you can figure out what that looks like. Then we might not have had time to put that slide together. And, okay. Ho! There it is. All right. What? On the top of the page. Okay, go down, halfway down the page, and write this one word, how. Did y'all know I'm Choctaw? I got my Choctaw card last year. It's pretty cool. No, seriously, my great-grandmother was full-blooded Choctaw Indian, so I know how to say how. Tough crowd. That's it. What and how. There you go. It's going to change your life right there. Okay? All right, you got those written down. Now, let me just finish very quickly, and then we'll go into that, okay? The Lord told me what to do. Go witness to those kids at the skate park. And I said, I don't know how. Okay? God will give you the what, and if you'll take a step of faith, he'll show you the how. That's why he told Abram in Genesis 12, he said, leave. Leave everything behind, your millions of dollars, your millions of cattle, and your family. You can take your wife with you, but your mom, your buried dad. Leave everything behind and go to a land that I will show you. Go. So he had to go home and say, hey, mom, I'm leaving. I've been called to God. Where are you going? I don't know. He just said, go. He did give me a promise and say, this would happen, and this would happen, and this would happen, and this would happen, but I have to go, not knowing. And literally, Hebrews 11, it says that he was going to a place that he knew not of. He didn't know where he was going as a foreigner in the land, but he just said, I want to go. And I talked about it Sunday just briefly. I said, we've got to have the faith to fail. We've got to have the faith to look so ridiculous that we say, God is stirring in me to go. Where? I don't know. But I've got to go now. And if I don't go now, he's going to find someone else. I personally, this is just me. This isn't Bible. This is just me. I don't think that Moses was the first person God used a burning bush to speak to. They were in Egypt for 400 years. I just personally believe that in those 400 years, he tried to call somebody else and nobody would go. So finally, he found the right one who would go. I know of a story of a young lady who was called overseas to the missions field, and she told her dad, she was a young single lady, and God called her over to the missions field, and she went, and she did a great work for just a couple of years and got sick and then died in that land after just a few years of teaching Bible studies and reaching souls. And her dad was so devastated with grief over the loss of his daughter, he prayed and said, God, why did you call my daughter and then let this happen? Why did you choose my daughter to go? And he said, God spoke to me and said, I called a lot of other men, but they wouldn't go, so I called your daughter because I knew she would. God doesn't need you. He doesn't need me. I've missed it many times. And I prayed this morning. I said, God, if I have missed it, give me another chance. I didn't miss it by on purpose. I may have missed it by accident or distraction, but forgive me and give me another chance. I promise you, he will. Talking about Jonah. He came to Jonah a second time. He came to Elijah a second time. Amen. What and how? So I said, God, how do I go? I'm just telling you a quick story as quickly as I can. This part of the story is quick. The rest of it's long. Okay. This part of the story is I said, God, how do I do this? We're over here on the other side of Portland. How do I go witness these kids? I mean, I'm going to get slaughtered just because I'm getting closer than 12 feet. To somebody, you know, and what do I do? How do I witness to teenagers on a skate park? You know, how do I do this? I know how to preach to 1,000 Pentecostals and say, Jesus, and everybody says, ah. It can be so loud, I could just say weird stuff. They don't even know what I'm saying. Be like, Doritos, and they're like, yeah. I know how to do that. How do I go to a kid who's smoking marijuana with his girlfriend who ain't got no clothes on at a skate park and say, do you want to receive the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues, eating his flesh and drinking his blood? Do you want that? How do I do that? First of all, you don't do it like that. So I was going through Fred Meyer. Y'all need to be just thankful to God that y'all have Fred Meyer. I just love Fred Meyer. I'll just go there and hang out. I just go to Fred Meyer and hang out. Just walk around. I just go to the grocery store just because Fred Meyer. I love Fred Meyer. I just love it. And I walked through Fred Meyer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go get a poster board, a neon poster board. I said, okay. And I went and got a poster board. God said, get a big, big permanent marker. I said, all right. Bought that. God said, go get an ice chest. I got an ice chest. God said, go fill it up with drinks. And I went down the water aisle, and the Holy Ghost said, nope, not water. He said, go get, and see, I thought Red Bull, but I didn't want to get sued by the parents or something, you know. And so God led me to, you know, Gatorade and stuff like that. And you know, things they would remember and like. And then I'm walking down this aisle to get to another aisle, and God says, stop. And you think I'm lying. And if you think, wow, he must be super spiritual to hear God's voice that clearly. I don't always hear God's voice that clearly. But when I chose to step out by faith and I said, I'll pursue the what? Literally the voice that God began to speak to me about weird stuff like Rice Krispie treats. You think I'm lying? I'm walking down the aisle and God says, stop, get these Rice Krispie treats. And I'm thinking, okay. And I put Rice Krispie treats in the cart. And I get home and I lay the poster board on the floor. I said, God, I'm pursuing the what? Show me the how. This is in the Bible. Did you know this is in the Bible? Not the Rice Krispie treats. But the what and the how is. It's in there. You don't have to go there. If you want to, you can. But in Matthew chapter 10, he tells them. He says, Matthew chapter 10, you write this down just somewhere on your page. So I want you to go study these verses later. Okay, Matthew 10, 7. Jesus says, as you go. Everybody say go. We talked to Sunday about preparation for action. As you go and do what? Turn to your neighbor and say, you're a preacher. Everybody in here is a preacher. In fact, pastor, get ready. In fact, not only are you a preacher, you're supposed to be a pastor. You didn't know that. Do you know what a pastor means? A shepherd. Do you know what a shepherd does? He leads people. I didn't say you're supposed to be the pastor of this church. But the Bible, there's a scripture, and I didn't write it down, but it even talks about women must be shepherds to younger ladies. We say, well, you don't want no women pastors. It literally says in the Bible, a pastor means shepherd. And it got quiet. You got nervous because I'm preaching the Bible to you. I didn't know that was in there. If we would answer the call of God, he would raise up more pastors. Because all a pastor is supposed to do in that regard is just lead somebody to Jesus. A shepherd, a mentor. If you've been in church for more than a handful of years, and you, hold on, just put your helmet on, it's going to be hard. But if you've been in church for more than a few years, and you don't have at least one person that you feel like you are a mentor voice in their life, there's a problem. There should be somebody around you, somebody near you, where they look to you and they say, hey, I need your help. I need your advice because I want to know God. They might not be in church, or they might be in church. It might be the barista that you see every morning at Starbucks. That was right there. Oh, it's Dutch Brothers. I'm sorry. I was almost in the Holy Ghost. Right when I said Starbucks, she was drinking her coffee. I was like, phew, man, that was a rhema word right there. Come on. It might be that barista. It might be somebody that you see that you could become literally a pastor in their life. Now, please, you have to come up here and fix this because we will have knuckleheads, and that's okay. I want more knuckleheads. I say, I'm a pastor. Let me preach. Give me a tithe. We need more problems like that where the pastor of the church has to sit people down instead of trying to ignite people up. Woo! Y'all saying, who is this Chris Green? We like the old one better. Because we could just be comfortable with the old Chris Green. Now we have to pay a price and do something. See, a lot of people, I don't believe it's in this church, but a lot of people, they would rather fall back to what's familiar than to march forward by faith. Because to go forward, it's going to cost you something. That's why the Israelites said, we'd rather go back to Egypt. They said, we'd rather be alive in Egypt than a dead corpse in the wilderness. In other words, we would rather live for Pharaoh and live for the world than to die for God. That's how most people live their Christian life. Woo! Matthew 10, as you go, preach. The word preach literally means to publicly proclaim what you believe. So, in that regard, everybody in the world's a preacher. The question isn't, are you a preacher? The question is, what do you preach? And let me just throw this in there. I'm getting hot and heavy today. Let me just throw this in there. We've got a group of people in our society, in our world, that are becoming louder and louder preachers, preaching to us what they believed, and they're not ashamed to preach to us their beliefs. They're not ashamed to preach to us their dogma and to say, this is the only way. It's time the church raises the standard and says, you know what? I'm going to preach a little louder, and I'm going to tell you that I know the only way. His name is Jesus. I got to hurry. I can't cheerlead anymore. I got to hurry. He says, as you go and as you preach, not as you attend and as you sit, as you go and as you preach, look what you get to do. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. And we say, where's the miracles? Same thing Gideon said in Judges 6. He said, where are the miracles, God? And God responds and says, I have sent you to do the miracles. That's a paraphrase. You go read it. He's asking God, why didn't you show up and do the miraculous? And God's saying, because I was waiting on you to go and do it. He says, because I've sent you, Gideon. Okay, Matthew 10. He says, you'll get to do all this stuff freely. You've received, freely give. Verse 14. Let's skip. Verse 16, behold, I send you forth as sheep. Verse 16, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. He literally says, I'm going to make you put yourself into the face of affliction. I'm going to call you to go where you might get consumed. Yeah. He didn't say, I'm going to call you to be sheep with sheep. I'm going to call you to be sheep with wolves. And the word send, I taught this here and I've taught it throughout Oregon. The word send in the original language of the Greek is apostelos, which is where we get the term apostolic, which literally translates to a sent one to an appointed place. Am I going too fast? Apostolic, apostelos, sent. It means someone who is sent to an appointed place, which means this. You're not an apostolic when you go to church. He says, apostolic, sent to the world. You're not apostolic until you're sent to the world. Yeah. That's why, okay, don't go to this, Brother Brandon. Just leave it there on Matthew 10. But in Romans 10, you can just write down Romans 10, 13 through 15. It says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they, that's sinners, how shall they believe in Jesus in whom they have not heard about? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So in other words, how will they be saved without an apostolic? Are you getting it? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Matthew 10 and 17, beware of men. They will deliver you up to the councils. They will scourge you in their synagogues. Man, I want to be a preacher now. See, we say preachers must be elevated to the place of reverence and preach the greatest conference in the spotlight, on the platform, in the pulpit. He says preachers will be scourged. Where? In the synagogues. People will be beaten, and he says they will arrest you. Verse 17, he says, verse 18, you shall be brought before the governors and kings for my sake, for a testimony, for a testimony. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't have a testimony because you're sheep with sheep. There's this one guy, his name is, you may know him, his name's Anthony Hansen. when he was here doing great things for God, he was doing wonderful things. He was saved, doing good things for God, but he would get discouraged and call me like once every few months because I'm seeing all these testimonies around the world, and he would call me and say, okay, man, pump me up, man. I need some encouragement. I need some life. I need some faith. I need some stories, man. Come on, give me some energy here. And I would tell him about what I saw in Africa and what I saw over here. He would always call me and tell me some testimonies. And then all of a sudden, cover your ears, Pastor. God calls him to Baltimore. If you don't know who I'm talking about his son. If you're new here, Anthony Hansen. He was here full time as a pastor here. And God just said, you and your wife, get to Baltimore. He's like, where's Baltimore? Never heard of it, never been to it. Never been there. And God says, go to Baltimore. And now he's been there a few years. How many years has he been there? Three? Two. He's been there for 2 years. And now he doesn't call me and say, tell me the testimonies. He calls me and I can't get a word in. He's like, man, this has happened and that has happened. Man, this guy and that person and this person got the Holy Ghost and this person was on heroin and they were drunk and we started praying for them and they sobered up, started speaking in tongues. We baptized them in Jesus' name. And I'm just like, wow. Come on. It says, for a testimony against them in the Gentiles. Verse 18 in the NLT says, when you get arrested and when you get beaten and when you get brought before the kings and the governors for trial, it says, this is your opportunity to tell them about me. Yeah. I've said this here before, but there's some people that you'll never have an audience with until you become their victim. Right. I'm going too fast. I'm seeing glazed donuts in your eyes. There's some people you'll never have an audience with them until you become their victim. Case in point, the Roman soldier that crucified Jesus. He wasn't there when Jesus taught on the hillside of Galilee, but he was there whipping Jesus to death, putting nails in his hands and feet. And so Jesus said, oh, I have an audience with you now? Let me pray for you. Father, forgive him, for he doesn't know what he's doing. And the scripture says that that Roman soldier received the revelation of who Jesus was. Oh, thief. Hey, where were you when I fed the 5,000? Where were you when I did this and that? And where were you on the Mount Olive? And where were you? You weren't there, but now I have an audience with you. Let me teach you about love. For today, you will be with me in paradise. Paul and Silas in prison. They never had an audience with that jailer and the prisoners until they became a prisoner themselves and a victim of the jailer. And the end of the story is they prayed and they sang hymns to God. And it says the prisoners were listening to them and God sent forth an earthquake. It opened up all the doors and every chain and shackle was loosed. And the jailer starts to kill himself. And Paul says, don't kill yourself. We're still here. We haven't left. Why haven't you left? When prison doors open, prisoners are supposed to flee. Yeah, I'm not a prisoner. I'm an apostolic. See, prisoners. See, victims always see the opposition. Apostolics always see the opportunity. He said, I haven't left. I'm an apostolic. I'd like to tell you about Jesus. Get on down here. Bring a flashlight. Bible says the jailer went down with the light and said, what do I need to do to be saved? He went to his house, prayed him and his whole family through to the Holy Ghost and baptized them in Jesus' name. But we're going to see that jailer and his family in heaven. But we wouldn't, watch this now. We wouldn't be seeing them in heaven if we wouldn't have heard about Paul and Silas in the jail. Yeah, right. Yeah. Mind blown in my head. So God, I got this poster board and I said, God, what I write? I'm going to put Acts 2:38. God says, nah, that's bad. Okay. Jesus, nah, don't write that. That's dumb. Okay. Deliverance. No, you're getting closer though. Okay. Liberty. No, you're getting real close. And God said, write the word free. Free. They don't say that F word many times at the skate park. Free. I thought, what is that going to do? We get the ice chest, we prop up the lid, and I tape it, tape the word free. Before I could turn around, it's just like a swarm of bees. What you got? What is? What's free? Well, we got some Gatorades and Rice Krispie Treats. What? See, God knew those Rice Krispie Treats would be a hit because it literally, by the next week, they were calling me the Rice Krispie Dealer. They knew us. They knew us. If I had given them water and cashews, they said, man, there's that chump again. There's always that family on Halloween. You knock at their door and they give you something healthy to eat. It's like granola bar. It's like, psh, I ain't coming back to this place. I see people pointing fingers at somebody. If it was Sister Hansen, don't point fingers at her. She says, no, okay. See, but God knew. And literally, I said, okay, on this first time, I'm not going to go out there and wear my halo and say, come to church. Let me pray for you. I just wanted to show them love. Yeah. Jesus said, by this will they know that you're my disciples. Yeah. They're your love. Yeah. Not by you, how loud you can say, repent. Right. Now that's later. When they come and they're ready. He said, love them. Yeah. So I just loved them. And they came to me and started asking questions. They literally, on the first time, they said, why are you doing this? What? Who are you with? And I just said, you know what? I said, I'm not with anybody. I said, I'm just trying to spread love in this community. And I said, you know, I'm just spreading the love of God. That's all I said, just spreading the love of God. They're like, wow, okay, thanks. You know, I come back the next week. And we went several weeks in a row. And each time God would say, take the next step. I was like, what's the next step? The next time God said, I want you to pray for him. Pray for him. Oh, my goodness. I got on Amazon. I bought a little megaphone. Biggest waste of money I've ever spent. My wife was like, well, you don't need no megaphone. But it was fun. Record one night, you know. And all that crazy stuff, you know, the sirens and stuff. But I would tell him, I'm like, how am I going to pray for him, you know? I don't know how. God told me the what, but I didn't know the how. God said, I mean, he's given me these ideas as I'm there. I didn't have time to write it down word for word. I'm there, passing out rice crispies. God said, man, I got to pray for him. How am I going to do it, you know? Can I pray for you? Can I lay my hands on you? What? No, don't be weird. I Portland's weird already. Don't think we got to get on their level. Not in that area. One day, the moniker of Portland will not be Keep Portland Weird. It'll be Keep Portland Saved. Yeah. That's what it'll be. Yeah. Keep Portland off drugs. Yeah. Keep Portland full of joy. That's what it's going to be. Amen. And so I'm standing there and God says, this is what you're going to do. Tell them in 30 minutes, we're just going to have a prayer over the community. I said, all right. So I tell them, hey, come back in 30 minutes. And I had my little scooter and I'm riding around, you know, and I'm telling people, hey, we got 10 minutes, meet over here. And then I got the megaphone. I said, hey, everybody, if you can come right here real quick for just one or 2 minutes, we're going to pray for the community. Come on. And they all gather around. I said, hey, I'm not telling y'all what to do. You know, I'm not trying to get into their business. I said, we're just going to pray for the community. This is what we're going to do. I just want you to close your eyes. I want you to pray for the families. I want you to pray for the chaos. I want you to pray for the sickness. I want you to pray that God would move in. And we just prayed. The next time God said, go to the next step. What's the next step? God said, give them a Bible study. I'm like, oh no. How am I going to give them a Bible study, you know, and without being too weird? And I'm thinking, oh my goodness. I had the what, and I stepped by faith, and then God began to speak the how. And I get there, and God said, tell them in 30 minutes, come back. I didn't have no Bible study. I mean, I got a million and two sermons on my iPad, and not one of them sounded good. I was like, how can I preach, you know, to them? What am I going to do? And the Lord said, tell them, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, for when I fall, I shall arise. I'm like, what does that have to do with them? And I'm looking around and they're all falling down, you know, doing like 360 grind and falling down and trying to, and they're all falling down, you know? Yeah, getting knocked out and getting up and bleeding and stuff and knocking their heads, you know, and I'm like, they're all, that's what they're doing, is falling down, you know. So I got them around, and I'm kind of picking on, I was like, and I got their names, and I was like, hey, man, Enrique, I saw you trying to do that trick, man. You failed, didn't you? You failed, but you got up and you tried again. Hey, I saw you do that. You failed, right? And I'm talking about how they keep falling. They keep falling. Like, yeah, what does that have to do with anything? I was like, well, there's a verse of scripture that God gave us that says you can speak to your enemy and say, don't you laugh at me. Don't you celebrate when I fall. Don't you make fun of me when I fall, because I will get back up. By the grace of God, I will get back up. And the scripture says, for when I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. And I just began to talk to him, and it began to connect. And And then the Lord said, take the next step and get their phone number. And I'm thinking, oh my goodness, how am I going to do this? And so I just simply put out the word and I just said, hey, I would love to stay connected with you if you want to stay connected with me. I'm going to give you my phone number. If you want mine, we can text, we can call, we can whatever. If you need someone to talk to, someone to pray with, just let me know. I mean, in just a few minutes, I had 20 different contacts of young people that wanted to stay in touch. Young men and girls who were coming up with tears in their eyes saying, you don't understand the depression I'm going through. I've tried to commit suicide. My parents, they're a mess. My dad's abused me. My mom's left us. They've abandoned us. And my brother's messed up on this and that and the other. And they're saying, I've always needed somebody to talk to. Yeah, wow. I didn't say, would you come to church? I said, can I come to you? Yeah. That's the key. Yeah. If they will not come to Jesus, you be Jesus in their life. Wow. Yeah. Where's your pen and paper? If they won't come to Jesus, here's how. You be Jesus in their life. Whew, I gotta hurry. What do we got? 53. Okay. Okay. You may have time. You're crazy. Okay, like me. We could be here all night. Yeah, we're almost done. Don't worry, we're almost done. Amen. So I had those 40 days of prayer. We had God turn us around in Arizona back to Oregon. We went out several weeks to the skate park doing outreach. And then God, man, I feel emotional about this because after all of that, months of praying and fasting, going out to the world, making a mistake. I left Oregon when God said, don't leave Oregon. I turned around. I humbled myself. I went out to the skate park. We tried to figure out the how. And then one Sunday morning, I still wasn't seeing it yet. And I sat down at the Palace of Praise one Sunday morning. They weren't having church yet at the church. They were doing online services. And I went at 5 in the morning. I'm sitting on the pew. And I just sat down. And I thought, you know what? I'm desperate. This may not work. But here we go. And I walked up to the altar. And I laid my face down on the altar. And I just said, Jesus, show me what you want me to do. I want to know the perfect will of God for me. Show me how. And boom. A 1 hour long. I can't tell you it was exactly 60 minutes to the dot. But it was about an hour long. I just laid there in a trance in the Holy Ghost when God gave me a vision. It was a vision of the church being turned inside out. So that what's on the inside will manifest itself on the outside. It was a blazing trail of people on fire for God going. My wife and I, we had started a nonprofit for tax purposes and things like that, and also because that's what we do. And the Lord gave me the name of the nonprofit the year before, and we had just started it that year, and it's called Harvest in Motion. And the Lord said, this will be your transition of ministry, Harvest in Motion. Because the harvest is mine, but the motion is yours. See, we know what the law of the harvest is, which is you reap what you sow, but we forget about the Lord of the harvest, and I'm going to talk about that next Tuesday night. The Lord of the harvest, and we're going to get into some more practical things, and I'm going to mention just a few things here again before we close tonight. We are going to pray, and I don't care if just this is how I am, okay? So you just have to forgive me, but this is how I am. Anytime we come together, anytime we release the word of God, I don't care if it's just a business meeting about the finances of the church and there's a gathering together, I want there to be a moment of prayer where we submit ourselves humbly to God and allow him an open door to move in. Because what if this is the night that you get a vision? And God had prepared an appointment with you for tonight, but we said, well, that was just a little Bible study. You know, I'll come back next Sunday when we can really have a move of God. I said, no, I scheduled an appointment with you Tuesday night, but you didn't open your heart. So in just a moment, we're just going to pray for just a moment before we leave. But God showed us Harvest in Motion because it's his harvest. I cannot control the harvest. I can't produce the harvest. There's nothing I can do that can cause people. There's nothing I can do that can make people to be harvested, to make people to be born again. I can't force somebody. All I can do is be the motion, the action. Harvest in Motion, the three letters, of course, they spell him. The three first letters, the acronym would be him because it's all about him. It's not about my glory. It's not about me speaking. It's not about being preaching. It's not about me getting the pat on the back. And I know sometimes we need some of that affirmation. That's okay. But at the end of the day, it's all about Him. This is the key to the harvest. If we realize that it's His harvest, but it must be our motion, God will show the increase. Amen. I asked Pastor, what's about the average attendance on a Sunday? And it's over 200, somewhere over 200. But just to make it easy, I want to show you something real quick, okay? I just want to challenge your thinking for a moment. Let's just say 200, okay? All right? 200 people. Everybody say 200? 200, okay? 200. What if each of you, I know there's not 200 here tonight, but what if each of you made a conscious effort, an intentional effort to reach out? I'm not saying, please hear what I'm saying. I'm not saying that you win someone, you've discipled them, they're ready to sing in the choir, they're ready to be a disciple, they're ready to be a missionary to Africa. No, I'm talking about 10 connect points. 10 people that you just simply reach out to and say, hey, I love you. Hey, would you like to come over next week? Would you like to come up? Would you like to meet for coffee? And you start that relationship of discipleship. And if each of you reached out for 10 people per month, again, not fully discipled, just 10 connect points. Hey, man, my name's Chris. How you doing? Man, all right. And you spark up a conversation somewhere, and man, you can see they're taking the bait. Yeah, I go to a great church. Man, we need to meet up sometime for coffee and talk about some of this. That's it. If you do that 10 times, if one of you does that 10 times per month, how many is that at the end of the year? 120. Smart, right here. Smart. Ask him all the questions. He's Google.com right here. 120, okay? Now, let's just assume that you guys are 90% failures. I want you to feel that. I'm so glad y'all feel that. Because a lot of people say, well, 10%, oh my goodness, that's too much. You're a 90% failure, which means you're almost a complete failure. Your drawings are not going on the refrigerator. You are a 90% failure. At the end of the year, if you're a 90% failure, you've made 10 connect points for the year. How many is that you would have won? 10% of 120 is? 12. Oh, wow. You got some challengers in the house. Some Einsteins in here. 12. Somebody say 12. Now remember, we started with 200 doing that, right? What's 200 times 12? 2,400. And you're a 90% failure. But Pastor, my pastor, 10%? Okay, let's say you're a 95% failure. That's 1,200 people. If 200 people, if everybody got on board and said, all I'm going to do is try to connect with 10 people per month, that would be 2,400 people that we would grow by in 1 year. You can reduce that all you want. I know the statistics of business and the statistics of congregations and everything else, they say 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Okay, you reduce 200 down to 20%. That's 40 people. What's 40 times 12? 480. So watch. Forget 100% participation. I've taught this church. There's only one time in a church that you find 100% participation, and that's when the pastor says, you may be seated. You should know better than what you just said. You say you're dismissed and people just keep staying. They probably got people sleeping down in the basement. They only participate 100% of the time when you say, you may be seated. Anything else, you may be standing, you may be worshiping, you may be giving, you may be praying. I don't know about that. The numbers go down and down and down and down and down until we have about 20% of the people do 80% of the work. So 20% of 200 is 40. 40 times 12 is 480. So if 20% of our congregation would reach out to 10 people per month and were a 90% failure, you would grow by 480 people. Okay, you're a 95% failure. You would grow by 240 people. I feel the Holy Ghost. You don't, I do. If all I do is take a step into the unknown, he's told me what? Go, preach. Go, preach. Go, preach. How? Take a step and I'll reveal it to you. Here we go. Oh, but they rejected me. I'll never do it again. I prophesied your rejection so that you would not deny it and avoid it and you would learn how to deal with it and capitalize on it. I prophesied that you would be rejected and that your rejection, your beating, your arrest would be your opportunity. There's no way we could multiply, Pastor. Oh, yes, there is. If we do this right here, one step at a time. One step, because, see, let's say we said 480. You grow by 480. What's 480 plus 200? 680. And now the percentage in the equation starts over, but from 680 people. Yeah. If you're with me tonight, I want you to stand. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Next Thursday night, on March the 17th, begins, if you want to put it up, the Issachar Project, which is 8 weeks of training by some of the world's greatest apostolic men. Brother Dan McLeod, Brother Terry Schock, Brother Mark Morgan, Art Wilson, Brother Stark, Brother Galen Walters, these men who have gone out and done it, and God has given them, it's not just about how much they've done, but it's the fact that God has literally networked them together. And I didn't have time to tell the whole story. I've got next Tuesday and the Tuesday after that and all that. But God networked us together last year, and God said, I want you to launch Harvest in Motion. And then he connected me to the Issachar Project, and these men invited me to join them and to go. And we've been in districts, in multiple districts, training churches of the strategies, the structures, the process, and the blueprint, and just simply of how I can grow and be a leader for God, step by step. And I'll tell you more detail next time, but there was one church in Aberdeen, South Dakota. You probably never heard of that city, Aberdeen, South Dakota. A town that would make the smallest town in Oregon look like a metropolitan. A church of 35 people with a brand new pastor who's never preached a day in his life. They've run 35 for probably 35 years. And after doing the 8 weeks of training, my wife and I spent just 1 week with them, and they said, let's go do it. The whole church said, let's go do it. We have nothing to lose and everything to gain. And 2 weeks later, I got a phone call from them, 35 people, and the pastor was freaking out. He said, you did not tell us what to do when our church of 35 would acquire 35 new Bible studies in 2 weeks. I said, what? He said, yeah, we did what you told us to do, but now we don't know what to do. We have 35 new Bible studies in a church of 35. Yeah. If my math is correct, they doubled. I think that's about right. Yeah. Yeah. He said, our Sunday school went from 4 kids to 17 kids. Yeah. He said, they had to dust off and jump start the church van and start doing a bus route again. Just a little bit ago, I heard from them, and they said that they'd never seen anybody get the Holy Ghost there because there's nobody there that needs the Holy Ghost. But in just a matter of a couple of months, they've seen more people get the Holy Ghost in the last 3 decades combined. Why? Because saints, not because the pastor preached any better, not because the singers sang better, Not because they got newer songs, but because the people in the church said, I'm ready to go and be anything I can be. I know the what. I'm ready to step into the how. I'm ready to do what I've never done before and walk into the realm of the unseen. I'm ready to see these things. And next week begins that training. And if you want to be a part of that, your pastor's already signed you up for it. I'm sure he's announced it. But I challenge you to get ready, because God is going to transform you. He's going to transform your methodology. He's going to transform what you think about living for God and acting and being for God. And God is going to do it. And then lastly, I end with this. In September, we have another entity. It's called the Global Harvest in Motion. And I'm so excited about this, because we launched it this year. And it's another group of men that we've created. We've created this effort of doing Holy Ghost crusades all over the world. We have 7 Holy Ghost crusades, 4 of them here in the States, 3 overseas in this year alone. But the vision is much more even than just seeing people get the Holy Ghost. The vision is raising up an army of people who are ready for yourself to be the army of the Holy Ghost, to see people baptized in the name of Jesus in your home, filled with the Holy Ghost in your home. And in September, I hope I'm not getting ahead of too much, but in September, this team right here is coming to Portland for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And we're gathering all the churches together, and we're gathering everybody that we can to have the utmost unprecedented outpouring of the Holy Ghost that this Northwest region has ever seen. And out of that is going to flow a momentum of God's Spirit. And out of that is going to flow an army of believers that are ready to do everything that God has called them to do. You don't know every detail. I don't know every detail. But if you just have the Spirit that says, I'm hungry for it, I want to be a part of it, would you just lift your hands, and would you begin to lift up your voice unto God as loud as you can with as much faith as you've got? Would you just reach out to the Holy Ghost? God wants to pour out His Spirit. God wants to send laborers into the harvest. God wants to show you the how. God wants to reveal the plan and the steps that He has prepared for you. I feel a heavy spirit of prayer in this place. I'm just opening these altars for anybody that wants to pray. The altars are open. If you want to find that hungry place of confession, conviction, repentance, that place of transformation, that place of renewal, that place of desire and desperation, the place where the fire of God moves in your bones again, the place of zeal and passion that says, God, I want to go. I want to be everything that you've called me to be. God, I resist fear. I resist insecurity. I resist doubt. I'm ready to hear your voice. I'm ready. I'm ready to hear what thus saith the Lord, oh God, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. 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 This is how I want you to pray for just a few minutes. Just a few minutes. As your every eye closed for just a moment. The first question of your notes is the word what. So I want you to pray for just a few moments and say, God, what do you want me to do? Pray with the prayer, the mindset of God. What do I want to be this time next month, next year? Also, you can pray, God, what do I see myself doing in this church? And God, what do I see this church being and becoming through the grace of Christ? What do I see happening in my city? I want you to see it. I want you to see the prophetic vision of God, the utterance of the Lord. And when you're done praying, I want you to go back and write it down. I want you to spend just a moment writing that thing down. What is it you want me to do? What do I see myself doing? I want to witness to somebody. I want to disciple somebody. I want to be some sort of help and resource of your glory, your hope, your love to somebody. God, what do I see this church becoming? I see this church being the greatest force ever to be reckoned with in this region. I see this church as a refuge for the hurting. I see this church as a lighthouse for those in darkness. I see this church as the clarity for those who are dealing with confusion. I see this church being the emergency room in your spirit for those who are hurting and lost and broken. And what do I see myself being for the church to become that in the name of Jesus? What do I see? What is it I see happening? I want you to speak that into the atmosphere. I want you to speak it into your spirit right now. I want you to speak it into existence. Paul said, thus I believed, so thus I will speak. Thus I believe, so thus I will speak. If you've got enough faith to believe it, then have enough faith to speak it. You got to have enough faith to speak it. Speak what you see until you see what you speak, and then speak something else. Speak what you see until you see what you speak. Come on, speak it. I want to be an evangelist in my city. I want to be a man of God on fire in your spirit. I want to be a voice crying in the wilderness in the Holy Ghost. Come on. It's been 3 minutes. Just take two more minutes. Hallelujah. 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 There's transformation in the room. I feel it right now. I feel transformation taking place. It is a metamorphosis change. It's a change from the inside out. There is a total transformation taking place. It's not just a little change. It is a total change from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. There is a change that is taking place. There is a divine shift in your heart and your spirit. Create in me a clean heart, renew within me a right spirit. Transform me by the renewing of my mind, that when I leave here, I leave differently than the way I came, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. I worship you, mighty God. I praise you, mighty God. God, if you can use anything, Lord, you can use me. Take my hands, take my feet, touch my mind and speak through me, Lord. If you can use anything, you can, you will use me. I surrender all to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all that I am. Hallelujah. I want you to stand as we dismiss. Pastor, I'm going to hand it to you in just a second. If you'll just listen for a moment, I don't want to, if you want to stay and pray, stay and pray. Amen. Remember in Mark 16, at the end of that great commission, it says, and Jesus ascended into heaven, and they went forth. They went forth preaching the word of God, with God working with them and signs following. I prophesy in the Holy Ghost, that is the identity, that is the nature and culture of this church right now. That as you go forth, God will go with you, working with you, signs following. This is what I want you to do, if you don't mind, from now until next Tuesday night, and then I'll call upon a few of you. Don't be nervous. Don't write a thesis thinking I'm going to call on you. I'm just going to call on who I feel to call on. But next Tuesday night, we're just going to discuss some more hows, okay? But between now and then, and tonight, maybe tonight, the next tomorrow, if you got to go to bed early tonight, it'd be really good if you took just 10 minutes, even with your husband, your wife, and sit down for 10 minutes and say, what did God? Man, I feel a witness in my spirit right now. If you just sat down and say, what did you see? What was the what that you saw in your mind and your spirit? Write that down. Write it down. Write it down. Write it down. And then over the next several days, begin to pray and say, God, give me a glimpse of the how. Start thinking of ideas. Ideas that may not sound all that spiritual. Ideas of just saying, I'm going to meet with people at Starbucks. Or whatever it is. Ideas of just connecting with people. Ideas. How. And God's going to speak to us next Tuesday night. We're going to discuss the how. On Sunday morning, it is the intention of the Lord. I'm going to preach on the Holy Ghost. I'm going to preach on the gift of the Holy Ghost. And this is what I know is going to happen. I've already seen it in preparation for this coming Sunday. The Lord is going to use some of you that have never been used to give that gift to someone else. Don't worry about it. We'll figure it out on Sunday. But we'll preach on the gift of the Holy Ghost. But it's not all just about someone receiving it for the first time. It's about people recognizing, God, you can use me to bring that gift to someone. And on Tuesday night, we're going to discuss the how. As Pastor comes, I want you to lift our hands one more time. And you know what I want to do? I want to pray a specific prayer for Pastor Hansen and his wife. Because as this church is taking new territory, the enemy will target the leader. He will target the shepherd, the head of the church. And I want you just to extend a prayer for his family and any and the other leaders, staff members, leadership of this church. Would you just say a prayer for them and cover them? And I believe as you cover them, the Lord will also cover you. Come on, pray the covering prayer of faith for them right now. Lord Jesus, I pray for Pastor Hansen and his wife in the Holy Ghost, a covering of protection, of power, of passion. I pray the virtue of the Holy Ghost to enter his mind, his body, his soul, his spirit. I pray right now a restoration, renewal, and refreshment of your word, of your spirit and power into him. In the name of Jesus Christ, as we go forward, taking new territory, no weapon that's formed against them will prosper. They will lead this church into the exponential harvest of these last days. Can you clap your hands and give God a great shout of praise?